Let's pray. Oh Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scriptures this morning come from 1 John and Ephesians, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. The first scripture from 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And now from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 29th through the 32nd verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Alan asked me something about this sermon in between the service, and I said the reason I'm preaching it is because I need to hear it. And so that's really why I'm preaching it. I am a product of the greatest generation ever. That's what somebody told me. They said my dad and his generation were the greatest generation ever, and I'm going to take his word for it, so that means I'm the next best thing. They survived the Great Depression, and they went to war. They went to war, in a world war. When I was coming along, right after electricity was invented, we could watch TV in black and white, and then we got where we could see something in color, and not everything in color, but some things in color, and then we got to see more things in color and less in black and white, and eventually saw everything in color. Some of you were with me when we were doing that, right? When I was coming along in TV, the shows I liked to watch were about war. All my heroes were fighters. If they weren't in a war and they weren't fighting, I was watching cowboys. I liked cowboys. The Lone Ranger, Roy Rogers, and a cast of others. I wanted to be a real man. You know, we that's what we looked at, real men. Now, some of you who are too young to know who Roy Rogers is and the Lone Ranger and those, let me just say they're fictional characters, and you would remember them this way if I were trying to tell you who they were like. John Dutton, Casey Dutton, Rip Wheeler. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about. Those of you who don't know who those are, I'm talking about the equivalent of John Wayne, young Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, those kind of people. They stood up for right. You do not cross those people, right? If you wrong them, your days are numbered. If you wrong John Dutton or Rip, what is he going to do to you? Take you to the train station. That's what we know about these people that we held in high esteem. But then when we stop long enough to think, you know, most of those people were really violent. They never took the time to have a long conversation. They didn't wait for somebody to say, "Will you forgive me for making that terrible mistake or misspeaking or doing that to your daughter or doing that to your son or doing that to your property?" They didn't wait for that. They acted. In fact, if we had a lineup of what we would consider real men and we stuck Mr. Rogers in the middle of it, he would be the last one chosen, wouldn't he? I want to submit to you that most of the people who act the way that those real men do that I described would never respond correctly. There's no such thing as asking for forgiveness or seeking forgiveness or trying to right a wrong. I say that the people that we at one point said were heroes and they're cowards. The bravest of those is Mr. Rogers, because he does the thing that's the most uncomfortable. See, some people would risk being hurt bodily not to show something, some other side of their humanity, right? We would rather do anything than confess our sins to somebody else. Now, I've told this story before, but I doubt all of you can remember it, and that one or two of you can remember it, you get to hear it again. When I was at my first church, this lady who was in her 90s, she still drove, she did aquatic aerobics, she did ballroom dancing once a week. She did all that stuff. She came to church one day and said, "Preacher, I had to terminate my housekeeper." I said, "Why? She's been with you a long time." And she said, "I know, but she stole from me." I said, "No. That lady was a preacher's wife. And not only did she work for this lady, she worked for another lady and had been working for 20 plus years with this other lady." I said, "What did she steal?" "She stole my bathing suit." Try to put your arms around that. A 90-year-old woman's bathing suit was stolen by a woman who is 70, and they're not the same size. I don't know. Just get your arms around that. I'm not sure there's any, no offense, 90-year-old woman, but I'm not going to steal your bathing suit. She was convinced this woman stole her bathing suit, and she fired her. And I said, calling her name, "Did you think about giving it a day or two and see if the bathing suit, you found it or it popped up somewhere, came to the surface?" He said, and I said, "Well, you know, one time my mother accused me of stealing her wallet." As an adult, she did. She said, "Did you go in my drawer and take my wallet out?" "Well, first, I didn't know you put your wallet in that drawer. Thanks for letting me know." "But no, ma'am, I did not steal your wallet." 3 or 4 days later, she tells me she found her wallet. I said, "Where did you find your wallet?" "In the drawer below the drawer they were supposed to be in." And I tell that lady that. About 2 weeks later, the lady tells me, when I asked her, "Did you ever find your bathing suit?" And she said, "Yes, it was in the trunk of my car. On the day in question, I was going somewhere else after swimming, and I put my stuff, I didn't want it to sit out on the seat because I was going shopping, and I put it in the trunk and shut it, and I had not gone in my trunk since that day." And I asked her, "Did you call your former housekeeper and tell her that you found your bathing suit and apologize to her for falsely accusing her and then asking this lady for forgiveness?" And she didn't say anything for a moment. And she said, "Oh no, I could never do that." She would rather a good woman think less of her because she falsely accused somebody, to think this woman she had worked for 25 years would falsely accuse her of something that she should have known she would have never done. Real men and women of God do not do that. When we start talking about loving God and loving neighbor, we have to love that person and our relationship with them equally. It's not enough. And so when we see and hear Mr. Rogers talking about an event, having a bad day, like none of us have ever had a bad day, but he goes to see his grandchildren thinking he can have a, it can maybe soften the day when he gets home with his wife, and maybe he can enjoy it, but they aren't doing what he really wants to do. They're having fun with water, and he didn't really want to get wet, and the children were doing what they were given permission to do. And when granddad, Bubba, he gets out there, he's in the field of play. Now, he didn't wet him, he admits that. And he shuts down the party. Now, some of us, on our way home, we might have had a tinge of regret for doing that to poor Alexander and his brother, wouldn't we? Might have a tinge of regret. Have y'all ever had a tinge of regret after you said something you shouldn't have said? And then this other little voice says to you, gives you all the reasons you can justify what you just did. Well, they really shouldn't have been playing with the water like that. As soon as I came out there, they should have put the water down and just come over there and talk to me. They didn't really need to be playing with water out in the backyard like that. We can justify anything we want to in our minds, can't we? But that's not what Mr. Rogers did. Because not only did he love his grandsons, he loved and cherished their relationship. And then he got to experience something that woman, who is a member of my church, would never get to experience. She might have gotten that lady saying, "I understand, I forgive you." She might have got to understand that even though she made a mistake, and she was dreading the fact that she was putting herself out on the line, she might have gotten to experience the joy of a gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness is a beautiful gift, isn't it? It really is. And yet many times in our life, we would rather not experience the joy of the gift of forgiveness out of fear that we might not receive it. And that's painful. These two commandments, love God, love neighbor, they're tied together. Over this past week, I started thinking about relationships with each other. And I came up with this, I'm going to say on my own, but I'm hoping the Holy Spirit help me with this. Dissensions and problems with relationships between humans, they can be broken by two things. The first is sin. I can do something against, I'm going to just pick on my wife. I can do something against her, do a sin against her, and that can destroy our relationship, right? I might even sin against her and it make her so angry, she sins against me. That's possible, isn't it? I might have driven a wedge in our relationship and then she gets a stick of dynamite and blows it up, right? So there's two sins in the midst of that. They both happen. Sin gets in the middle of it. In human relationships, though, something else we have to deal with that we don't have in our relationship with God. And that is misunderstandings. Misunderstandings can destroy a relationship. I was talking to a member of our church this past Friday, and they were telling me about they donate time to an organization here in the area that helps underprivileged people. They were working at the checkout counter, and they would come in and they'd buy food and they'd check out by him. he looked up the door where people came in, and it was a glass door, and he noticed the door was locked, and he thought, it's not 1 o'clock yet. We close at 1 o'clock. He pulls out his phone. It says it was something before 1. So he puts his phone back in his pocket. He opens the door for the ladies, and they come in, and they go shopping. And when they come back around, he's standing there at the checkout, but he's not doing it. And the guy who's doing the checkout asks, did you find everything you need? And they said, yes. I hope everything, you had a good time here. He said, not really. He said, what's wrong? He said, that man was rude to us. And he said, what did I do? You were rude to us. What did I do? I don't want to talk about it. And so he was kind of befuddled. He follows him out into the parking lot. I really need to know what I did, because I promise you I wasn't trying to be rude to you. Well, you looked at us, and you looked at your phone, and you looked like you didn't want us to come in. And he said, no. I looked over, saw the door was locked. I thought, it's not 1 o'clock. I wanted to verify it wasn't 1 o'clock. And then when I saw that it wasn't 1 o'clock, I let you in. I wanted you to come in. I wanted you to be able to do what you were doing. A misunderstanding severed the relationship. They kind of put it back together in the parking lot. But sometimes in our lives, it's not really a sin that does it, but a misunderstanding. And we don't care what it is sometimes. Sometimes it's a sin, and sometimes it's a misunderstanding. All we know that our relationship has been frayed, and we don't care. We don't care. All we know is we're mad at them. And they shouldn't have done what they did to me. And so I'm going to complicate it. I'm going to do to them what they did to me. That's a problem. Now, when it comes to God, there's not a misunderstanding. You know why? Because God knows your heart and your mind and your intentions and your attitude. You don't get the misunderstanding trump card with God. Our sinfulness comes between us and God. And so God is saying, love me, love your neighbor, and cherish the relationship. There is value in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? There is value in a relationship with other people. All people. Life is so much richer the more brothers and sisters in Christ, the more people that we have something in common, even when there are differences of opinion and differences of whatever the understanding, when we're willing to be able to sit down and talk with them and to have a relationship with them. Despite all that's going on in the world, it makes it so much better. Now, you might have wondered why we did the Apostles' Creed today in 11 o'clock service. We normally don't do that, do we? But y'all remember it because you can read, right? We weren't even going to do the Lord's Prayer today. And then I figured out something. There's something in the Apostles' Creed that's very appropriate for today. You get down to about the third paragraph where it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. Whose sins? Whose sins do we believe in the forgiveness of? Ours, right? That's what we want, right? And so we do this affirmation of faith to remind God that He is supposed to forgive us of our sins. Right? Well, no, He already knows that, or she knows that. God knows it. We also remind us that just as we expect God to forgive us of our sins, that God expects us to forgive others of their sins against us. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. When I sin against somebody else, and they're Christians, and they believe all that stuff, we expect them to forgive us as just as they will expect to forgive, we will forgive them. Amen? So when you start saying the Apostles' Creed, we might need to say it every Sunday to remind you that the forgiveness of sins goes both vertically and horizontally. And then we said the Lord's Prayer, because it's a little thing in there about forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins and our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us, who have a debt to us, right? I want to submit to you that unforgiveness is a bad thing. We say if you confess your sin, God will forgive you. If you confess and repent of that sin, God will forgive you, right? One of the marks of salvation is we have been forgiven of sins, right? But if Jesus says, if you aren't willing to forgive somebody their sins, I will not forgive you of your sins. You better check your justification. You better check your fruit. Because if we're unable, it's impossible to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And then say, but so-and-so, I can't forgive them. They did something to me that I cannot forgive them. There's a contradiction there, isn't it? We as Methodists believe in the sanctifying grace of God that through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we become more and more like Christ. We cannot be sanctified if we're unwilling to forgive. If we're unwilling to love the relationship and the person that we don't like. And that's not easy. But we as the body of Christ not only have to love the person, we have to love the relationship. There was an interview that Charlie Rose did of Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers quoted a Dr. William Orr. And Dr. Orr said these words. He said, there is one thing that evil, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to say, there is one thing that evil cannot stand, and that is forgiveness. We think about C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters. As long as we are unwilling to forgive as a body of Christ, as a community of believers, it will hinder what we can do for the furthering of the kingdom and winning people to Jesus Christ. It is key. The question is, do we want to be real men and women of God or not? Because real women and men of God are willing to forgive. They're willing to build relationships where no relationship is. And we're willing to allow the one that we say through Christ, all things are possible. Take him at his word. May we be willing to go forth and take him at his word. And then we might hear somebody say, oh, Bubba, everybody has a bad day. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that we can be mature. We can be real sons and daughters of yours, where not only do we receive forgiveness, we extend forgiveness. That we not only love the person who sinned against us, that we love the relationship and who we are together. Challenge us, equip us, empower us, convict us to be more forgiving. so that we can be like you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.